Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to let the peace of God reign when the world is screaming. You know, they're trying harder and harder to get our attention, our eyes off of God and onto our surroundings. Well, you Christians, you need to be acting. I don't act. I am what I am. So know that first and foremost. Second of all, when I'm praying, I'm moving heaven and earth. I'm devouring the spiritual world, so to speak. But we have got to realize we've got to let that peace reign. That means that it is the final authority in our lives. Don't ever let God's word just fall to the ground. Believe it. As I've said last week, God's been dealing with me on starting some messages, and they're intended for some of you. Okay? So just say, it might be for me. This word just might be for me. And because I'm going to tell you, there's days I've done them, and for somebody's particular, somebody totally different comes up and says, man, I needed that. That was right for me. I'm like, Lord, thank you. But what I want you to understand is, it's time to set the ship straight. We're in some uncharted waters in our lives. There's nobody in here who has ever lived in a time like this. This is unprecedented in our country. We will pray. We will. I love the back of your shirt, Miss Cheryl. Pray more, worry less. Hallelujah. We need that. And if you're not going to let the peace of God reign in your life, then you're going to be doing the exact opposite. Doesn't mean that you don't have concern. It means I'm not going to worry about it. I can't do anything about it anyhow. So I'm going to turn it over to God and trust Him. Amen. Well, I think we did have, most of you got your little announcement list this morning. But one thing, Compassion Cafe will be open from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. in the conference center next week. Come enjoy a delicious hot breakfast, coffee, milk, and juice, all for free will donation that will help those in need. Also, again, we thank you for helping us getting the services started on time. I know it means a lot for the people that tune in at 10:30 on the nose online. And also, if you need a tithe or offering envelope at any time, they're in the back. We bring them up. Also, if you've gotten a visitor's card, we ask that you put that in. We're not going to come to your door and try to get you to join the church. We just like to know who you are. Because I'm not going to lie, I forget people's names anymore. And it's good to know that I seen a card and say, oh yeah, I remember. I remember that person. See, Noah, I'm not going to forget your name, man. Just not. But anyhow, so let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all that your goodness and your mercy is. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are a God of love. Father, we now bring to you our tithe and our offering. We bless it. We present it to you as holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the junior church is dismissed. You know, this week I had a couple of projects I've been working on, and one thing leads to another, and I had to restart, and I'm like, if I'd have just left well enough alone, anybody ever been there? If I'd have just left well enough alone, this is now worse than what it was. And so the first project, I was doing something for Angela, and I finally had her said, you come out and you look at it. I said, I'm about ready to strip the top completely back down and restain it and lacquer it. She came out and she says, it looks fine. It's an old table. It looks fine. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. that was the third time I'd stripped at top. And the other project was my desk. I've been, a year and a half ago now or so, I bought a desk because I thought, you know what, I sit at a computer desk, tiny little computer cubicle. That just not, no. I bought this desk. It needed a new top. I said, okay, God, what am I going to put on for a top? How do you put a new top on that thing? Because it's not like an old desk. You can just unscrew the top and put a new top on. Well, I was able to put this top on. It's Spalded Cherry, which has black lines running through it that look like flames. It's totally awesome. And I've been working on it and working on it. And I have sanded, and I have planed, and I have done everything, getting it level and then building it up so that it's got a good hard top on it. And I had little wormholes to fill in. You know, I know that's the thing now is for wormholes to be in your furniture. Well, not on a desk. You ever find a pencil poking through it or your pen going through it, and you're like, I got to get a new piece of paper now. And so anyhow, I was like, God, I want all that filled. And as I was trying to fill it, I had one problem led to another, and I had other priorities, so it just got pushed to the side of my shop. And I'm like, this thing is big. It is 70 inches long. It's a desk. And I said, I really, really don't, I want to get this thing out of here. I'm tired of looking at it. I want to sit at it. And so I decided to sand all those spots down, finally got them sanded down smooth. And I thought, I'm just going to try lacquer. I'd used polyurethane over top of it before. And so I started putting some lacquer on. I thought, well, it's good looking nice. So I lacquered the entire top. Well, my lacquer had started drying, so I ended up with brush marks. Not what you want in a desktop. So I got the 400 grit wet sandpaper out. Started wet sanding it. Then 800 grit. Then 1,000 grit. And I was like, God, I don't know. What am I going to do? I mean, I like it. It was smooth. I mean, it is smoother than a baby's bottom. Okay, it is smooth. But this whole time I'm thinking, you know, God, there's a couple flaws in it. It had some reactionary spots. A couple areas where it cracked. It didn't look right. And other things, there was issues. Just tiny little ones. Well, most of them I got out with the wet sanding. And as I'm doing this the whole time, I'm like, God, I can live with this. It really doesn't bother me. And I've been working on it. And you know, as a craftsman, I'm like, I'm getting weary of working on the same project all the time. But by putting it in the corner, I was able to work on other things. And God just kind of showed me, it's kind of like how he does with us. But we're not just shoved in a corner. He works on us a little bit. He wet sands a little bit on it. Okay, we got that buffed out of there. We got that sanded out. Now let's go with 800 grit. Let's go even finer. And yeah, it's looking good. It's feeling good. But it's not shining yet. So you got to go a little finer yet. And then yesterday, I finally got some new pads for my buffer wheel. And I hit a little bit of scratch remover on there. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can ask, the boys have seen the desk. And it's going to get a couple more coats because I burned through in a couple spots. I am not claiming by any means to be God when it comes to working through things. But God has been showing me how just each step you keep working and you keep working. And then I hit that with that foam buffing pad. And that dull, it's still beautiful, that dull wood grain warmed up and just came to life. And as smooth as it was before, it is even smoother now. And that's not even the finest I can take it. So I'm telling you this because God wants you to know he's going to be working on all of us. He's not done. But just like this is a project over time, it's not all at once. God never just comes in and says, you know what? I'm just going to take everything. I'm just going to make you deal with everything right now. There's some of us in here still holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness from 50 years ago. We're holding on to hurts. Well, this person made me mad 30 years ago. Get over it. If we don't start forgiving people of this stuff, this is the garbage that keeps festering. It's the little reactions that work their way up through the new finish. They're the brush marks that now it's going to require more time from me. Because God says, I want it out of there. I want you to be all that you can be. So know that when I'm preaching, like I said, every time I get a message, I was even reading this morning, and it's like, man, God, my shins hurt. Why you got to come back and kick me too? But that's the way God is, because he cares about us all. He wants us all to be able to, for people to see the beauty that is in us. Everybody judges us from the outside. You know, I'm cutting up some, I have some logs that I'm cutting up for firewood, and there's a lot of cherry in it. And in those cherry logs are some that the outsides are soft. They're rotten. They're no good. That is exactly what this log looked like that made these boards that I have now polished and are on my desk. To most people, they look like garbage, but to some sawmill operator somewhere, he's like, you know what? Let's run this through there and see what the grain looks like. And they come out, and you got all the old knots, and you got the veins showing through. And right now, and it was a little softer than really clean cherry. But now, because of the finishes I put on it, it is hard as a rock. It is so smooth, I will not be surprised somebody doesn't accuse me of using a laminate on it. But I promise you, it is half-inch thick cherry. And I tell you this because this is what the world sees of us. They see us as old, rotten logs. Well, you're damaged goods. There's nobody damaged beyond God's capability of repair. I'm often reminded, some of you that are old enough, I'm looking around and there's not many of you, of a song from the 80s. Some of you in here, your parents were in your age in the 80s, because I was alive and well. But there's a song called The Touch of the Master's Hand. And the song goes that there's an auction, and all these antiques are going for high dollar, and then they pick up this ratty violin. And the guy looks at it, he looks at the outside of it. It's dirty, it's dull, the strings are a little loose, the bow is just, it's got hairs hanging off of it, and he starts the auction. Who'll give me $2? $2, who'll make it $3? $3 twice, that's a nice price. But who's got a bid? Couldn't get past $3. And he said, I'm going to stop, and they do this in auction. I'm going to let you think about what this is. And he stopped, he's like, he's begging people, somebody give me a fair offer. And this old man comes up from the audience, gets up there, starts tweaking it, starts tuning it, and then starts to play it. They heard the beauty of what was rejected. A violin isn't played because of what it looks like. It's played because of its sound. The auctioneer hears it, and he says, wow. Now y'all have all heard this. Who'll give me $1,000? Who'll give me $2? And the people in the audience says, what made the difference? The auctioneer says, it was the touch of the master's hand. See, right now your life may be upside down. You may have had your hopes on Trump being elected again. Get over it. Trump is not my king. He was my president. And no matter how I feel about current administration, does not matter, because Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and God is still on the throne. My hope is not wrapped up in my federal government. I was a federal employee once. Can I tell you a few things? We haven't had a good federal government for a long time. We've needed to pray for them. But what makes the difference is God in our lives. It's not whether everything just seems to be going right. Sometimes God does stop. He puts a block in front of you. You can't go this way. You've got to stop. Open your Bibles this morning. And I'm going to read off the overhead to Philippians chapter 4. Because I have a message I was working on. And God said, not yet. I got to start here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate. Think on these things. If your Facebook pages or your feeds are looking like mine, I'm so sick of conspiracies. I don't care. I really don't. Because I've read a book called Revelation of John. There's a one world government, and it gets crushed by the King of Kings. So if the United States, as it is, has to fall, then that means I'm another step closer to seeing Jesus without having to go the other way. Just saying, I'd rather go alive than have to go the other way. But the point is, whatever things are pure, what are we filling our minds with on TV? There's shows, it amazes me. They could start off so good, so clean. And then once they got you, what do? They bring in the sex. And then they just start opening it all up. They start ruining it. They got you. Well, I like this show. I like that character. We relate to the characters is what the problem is. Whatever things, let's go back to the A side of that. Whatever things are noble. You know, it's not a word that's used a lot in this country. A nobleman was somebody who was elevated. Whatever things are noble, things that are elevated out of the muck and mire. It is muck and mire to keep worrying and trying to figure all the garbage out. Of course there are currents of things running. There always has been. There's always been opposition. There's always been communists in this country. There's always been this vein of garbage. We do not have to let it run through the church. No matter who is the president of this country, no matter who is on the Supreme Court in this country, God is my God. And I'm supposed to pray for them. Why? Because, let's see, the children of Israel had a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, who had saved, because of wisdom from God, the entire region over there. Go figure. And this man, they figured out how to try to make them slaves. They started abusing them. And then God said, enough is enough. But note this, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he did it on purpose. Because it became a trap to Pharaoh. Whatever things are just. Yes, this country needs some justice. I will not deny it. There are things that do not add up. 2 + 2 still equals 4 the last time I checked. We need justice in this country. But I'm promising you folks, we're only getting a bit of the story. My time on active duty taught me the higher-ups will do whatever they can to protect their own skin. Even when I was sent out, pretty much ordered to go do certain little, we called them recon missions, we had to acquire things. That's how I believe that. Marines don't steal, they acquire things. I was told that if I got caught, he knew nothing about it. He was an E7. What am I going to tell him? No, I'm not doing that. I'm a lousy E2. I got one tiny little stripe. Man's got 5. I did it. But if I got caught, it was my fault. So you know what I made sure didn't happen? I didn't get caught. Whatever things are pure, clean. If you see something come up, okay, Lord, if there's any truth in that, pray. Pray over it. And then move on. Lovely. Whatever things are of good report. We don't believe good reports anymore. Why? We can't. We almost can't believe in good reports because of fake news. And it's not just the left. People will manipulate you with reports. If it looks like dog poo, it smells like dog poo, guess what? It is dog poo. Don't tell me it's chocolate chips. That's all we got to say about that. Anything of virtue, anything of value, think on these things. Why? And I'm telling you this because it's surrounding us. Because in a couple of weeks, the message is going to be on complaining. I cannot, I'm like, God, I know all this stuff. But yet this week, I had to bite my tongue because I kept wanting to say stupid things. Why? Because I've been allowing the stupidity of other people's thoughts enter in over the knowledge of God. All right. Romans chapter 16. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Go back to 19. I want you to be wise. The word means excellent. Excellent at what is good. Are we excellent at what is good? Or are we excellent at what is evil? We need to be focused on good in order to be good. But if we're focusing on evil, guess what we're going to be? We're going to be evil. What's your angle here, preacher? I have no angle. I'm telling you straight on. This is the word of God. But be simple. Now, let me help you out here. That word does not mean simple like simpleton. It means innocent, like a child. They didn't know. As a child, you don't know. Who cares if they're black or white? Who cares if you're boy or girl? Who cares if you got red hair, brown hair, black hair, yellow hair? Who cares? As a child, none of that matters. But we surround ourselves as we're growing up. We're being surrounded by people's thoughts, by people's comments. And that's what influences. And that's the stuff that influenced me as a child. Was the people that I was surrounded with that I couldn't get away from. Because they're family. You know what we say about family? Oh, you got your family. And you don't have to turn out like your family. My family is full of drug addicts, full of alcoholics, full of reprobates and liars. And there's some good people in there too. I'm not saying that they're all, I'm just saying they're there. And when that's what you're surrounded with, that's what you're going to act like. The Bible tells us to be simple concerning, innocent. No, I'm not evil. I was. But it's not telling us not to know how the devil works. As a coach, if you're going to go play, say, football, I know I got a couple of football coaches here, so I got to be careful. I'm a military man, not a football coach. But the concepts ring true. If you're going up against another team who's good, what are you watching the week before? You're watching their tactics, aren't you? You're watching how they play. You're watching who their power players are. You want to know their strengths, their weaknesses, and you want to play into those. It's no different in the military. You go up against a force, you want to know what their strengths are. You know, Desert Storm, we knew pretty quick, you know, well, first off, we're going up against the Republican Guard, the toughest army in the world. Please, they surrendered by the hundreds. But we knew what their only strength was. You know what their only strengths were? Their little Russian-made tanks. Scud missiles weren't. We know how that worked out. Their tanks were their only strength. We had air superiority. So what did Schwarzkopf do? He said our M1 Abrams, the best, in my opinion, and it is totally biased, the best battle tank in the world, set them off 20 miles away. Do you know why he set them 20 miles away? Because their tanks could only reach 10 miles, and ours could hit 20. And we started taking their tanks apart. We need to know how the devil's operating. What's he using? He's using the media, ladies and gentlemen. He's using preachers and people who are only there to fleece you and try to get you all wound up and get you on board with their book or their latest series. And sometimes those aren't bad things, but if it's only stirring trouble, it's garbage. The Word of God does not tell us to focus on that. I know lots of things about the occultic world, and I have to be very careful that I don't slip into this garbage. And every year I'm given, somebody finds a way, because it come from some police department, which is, one of these days I'm going to call that police department that they claim it came from and say, I got this. But it's all the festivals that the occultic world, they practice and all their sexual perversions. Why does that even need to go out? Why do I care? Why does the police department care? Because they don't. It's not their job to care about somebody's perversions. Somebody else is stirring it, and they get people all wound up. Why? Because I've got a good book on this subject. I don't need to know the ins and outs of Islam. It's not the same God. It is not. Islam is descendant of Ishmael, Isaac's half-brother. We know who Isaac is, right? Isaac's half-brother. And God said every man's hand will be at his throat, and his hand will be at every man's throat. In other words, there will never be peace. So we need to understand that. Can they find Jesus? Absolutely. You want peace in it? You want peace? You need to start praying that people find Jesus. You need to start doing that instead of praying God kill them. Here's the thing. If I absolutely had to, I can. But I'm telling you what, you have to go to another level, another dimension in your mind to take the life of a human being. And it can't be out of hatred. When they told us we were going to war, I got out of boot camp and, you know, there were some pacifistic ideas thrown to me. Well, can you really kill somebody? I sure beat the dog dookie out of that dummy over there pretty good. I shot my targets pretty good. We blew things up pretty good. I said, but they can't make me kill anybody. And that was right. They can't. But August 2nd, 1990, it was a little different. And it wasn't because I hated Iraqis. It was because I found something. I found love. Love for my brothers and sisters in arms. Love for my American family, my people, in my country. The reason I took an oath, it was love, not hatred. On a combat field, you're there for a reason. But to be able to pray that God kills somebody, that's asinine. We have got to pray that they find Jesus. The people that were here during this time will tell you and testify. We prayed that Osama bin Laden would find Jesus. We prayed that they would find Jesus and repent. Not, Lord, lead SEAL Team 6 to them. That's not what I wanted. I wanted him to find Jesus. And if he didn't repent, then we know what was coming. But to know the tactics, then you know how the devil's going to work. A philandering husband may come home. I don't know why I keep going home with other women, honey. I love you, baby. I don't know why. Friday night, he's on a bar stool in a singles bar next to some other woman who's not his wife. You want to know why? Because you keep going to that stupid bar. But I just stopped in for a drink. You know what? I'd say you need to teetotal it now. You can't handle it. And you need to stay out of that stinking bar. Quit putting yourself into situations. Stay out of there. Run from the evil woman. If we're going to be innocent, we got, like, where, there he is. I knew he was down here somewhere. You know, there's Maverick. Innocent. You know, I remember hearing a song by a group called Philadelphia. They were Christian hard rock back in the 80s. And this song didn't mean a whole lot. I mean, I liked it. It was a good song. It's called My Boy. And it was written from a father to his son. And if you'd see the album cover, you'd say there's no way that there's anything godly on that album. Because it's called Search and Destroy, and it has a picture of the devil holding a body. But if you understand what it was about, you'd get it. But he said, I saw you sleeping, so innocent. But then I thought about what the world is going to do to you. That kind of changes things, doesn't it? That's innocence. Every last one of us started out innocent. There's no hatred. We didn't pick on people because they looked a funny way, looked this way, looked that way. Who cared? They were our friends. But then we got a little bit older, and well, you know, maybe they didn't stay as clean as they used to or whatever. Or maybe they gained a little bit of weight, or maybe they dye their hair funny, and we wanted to fit in, so we start picking on them. Why? And because we're no longer innocent. The world has creeped in. The world has taken over and changed who we are. We weren't called for destruction. We weren't called for wrath. We were called for God's love. By the way, this is really a great song too. We used to sing it in North Carolina. I remember when we started doing it, it was our first rock type song. And I was the sound man, so guess who got turned up? Mr. Johnny on the guitar. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What I just said, that backed it up right there. These are words in red, if you didn't know. He's sending us out. We're sheep among wolves. We don't look like we can be bad. We don't look like we can be tough. But Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means you've got to be smart. You've got to use your brain housing group. You've got to think. You've got to engage your brain. This is leading me someplace I don't want to go. The thoughts that come up into your head. Why do we focus on the thoughts? Why not cast them down? Romans 12:2, bring it up. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be transformed, changed. The information coming in has got to go through something. And if I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not have the word in you yourself, you're failing because you're trying to use CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS, this preacher, that preacher. I don't care who your favorite preacher is. I'm not here for a self-help book. I'm here for this book. I'm here to tell you, you've got to run it through the Word. God's Word is actually about love. It's not about condemnation. It's not about hate. God gave us nowhere to hate homosexuals. Nowhere. He said to love all people. And we'll get into that someday on why it is a sin. In case you're thinking it's not. It ranks right up there with lying. By the way, sin is sin. I don't know why we put degrees on sin. Sin is sin, period. For the bite of an apple, the world was thrown into chaos. And it was just disobedience. But there's a reason why all of this stuff is coming up. By the way, the Bible told us this was coming up. People don't think so, but it did. The Antichrist has always been here. And the Antichrist doesn't want what God established. But he did not establish us to go out and burn communities. Listen, what's the word? I'm trying to think, Lord, do I go down this road? Do I go down this rabbit hole? If we try to love people more than we're actually trying to harm them or show them how much we dislike what they're doing, we would find God can move easier because they don't have the wall. How many times if you may have got called into the boss's office unexpectedly, the principal's office, or got taken out in the hall on occasion, how many of you instantly you started building your defense? I got both hands up, man. I was already, man, I had the logic down and I was going to explain myself out of this situation, but it usually didn't work. But you see, when somebody is in error and they're fighting against God, we can't go and keep hitting them in the face and say, Matt, God loves you. Matt, God loves you. Matt, God loves you. Then quit hitting me. Somebody comes up and hits me and then tries to tell me something that they're doing it for my good. Listen, I've told you before. I got two cheeks. That's all I can turn. The third time might be on you. First one, you hit the Christian. The second, you hit the preacher. The third one, you might find the Marine. Just saying. But you might find a mature Marine who understands that if I strike back, I might not stop, so I may have to just take a step back. which, by the way, I've learned to do, because I've been hit a few times by people I thought I was far enough away from. That guy had 6-foot arm, well, reached out and caught the end of my chin. For speaking the truth, by the way. But sometimes the truth doesn't need to come out like that. And that's what got it. So if we're going to be representatives of Christ in this world, we have got to act like it. And I'm not talking about just in being an actor. I'm talking you live the life. That's why God is telling us right now to start surrounding ourselves with things that are true, things that are just, things that are right, things that are holy, things that are pure, because the world wants to pull us away. The whole point of all of this is to overthrow what God has established on this earth. Do not think that the Bible has been clear on this the whole time. Different interpretations by men have changed things because they all think that, hey, I've got the revelation of when Jesus is going to return. No, you don't, buddy. Jesus don't even know when he's returning. Only the Father. And you know when Jesus is going to get the orders? He's just going to hear, saddle up. That's it. That's all it's going to be. Go. He's not going to be sitting up there on his horse for a millennia waiting. I'm ready, God. I'm ready, Daddy. I'm ready. Send me. Send me. Send me. Jesus is a rapid deployment Savior. In a heartbeat, he can be there. The only people that got that were military. Every unit I was with was rapid deployment. It meant 24 hours, we could be anywhere. That's who's coming for us. But he doesn't want us to come down here and find us fighting each other. He wants to come down and find us doing what he told us to do. That's why he didn't tell us when he was coming. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, loving each other as ourselves. Sometimes you have to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, don't you? That's the hardest thing to do, is to see an argument from somebody else's point of view. But I read this book once. I won't lie. I read part of a book once called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And if you've ever seen the book, you know why I said I read part of it. It is that thick with teeny tiny letters. There's a lot in there. But he said, if you really want to win a conversation, put yourself in their shoes. See it from their point of view. I tried that once. Right after reading that, I tried it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's the truth. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And you'll see things a little differently. We're going to be talking about things. Don't know how blatant some things may get. I'm not going to say they aren't, because I'm here to tell you the purifying fire is lighting up. I was reading my, I can't remember if it's called Lessons from a Deer Stand, I think is what it's called, Lessons from a Deer Stand this morning. And the author was talking about getting ready. He said, you know, in my off season, he says, I go out and he said, and I take my arrows. He said, and I check my arrows over. And he said, I'll even use he uses aluminum. He said, if they're a little bit out, he said, I'll even take a torch and heat them a little to roll them so that they are perfectly straight. Well, I buy graphite now, so not a huge deal on that. But the purifying fire to straighten things out. That's what we're going to be experiencing. Some of us are going to be experiencing just being dipped down into the fire. Others, you're just going to feel the flame. But all of us are going to experience it. And I'm not just talking here in this group. I'm talking the body of Christ. Because the Bible says that Jesus is returning for a bride who is without spot nor blemish. Okay, you got most of your robe clean. You got some dirt down around the bottom. Time to clean it up. He's coming. It's time to get our lives on track. And it's going to be quick sometimes. And I know that's why God was giving me the example of that while I'm standing. And by the way, my shop was not, that water was just above freezing because it was in the shop. And I've got water in a water bottle. And I'm spread, and my fingers hurt. But I'm like, I know what it could look like. I want to see what it's going to look like and see what it's going to feel like. And eventually I got feeling back to my fingers, and I was able to feel how smooth it really was. And that's what God's going to do for all of us, folks. The finish that's going to be on us is going to be buffed. It's going to be high shine. He's going to bring out the detail of your life. And I'm not talking about what's this body. I'm talking about what's really inside of us. The people we really are. As I shared years ago, and I'm wrapping up. As I shared years ago, how I used to judge people on how they just looked. I mean, they didn't have to be anything. They just had to have a certain look. And I was like, I don't like them. They look mean. Anybody ever think that? I had a teacher in second grade. She looked mean. Her name was Killen. I thought she wanted to kill me. But you know what? I should have learned. I did not know until years later. I think I was in high school. Her husband died that year. And she was there teaching. The hardest year of her life. She really wasn't all that old. I mean, she might have been in her 30s. That should be something we should see. Because I heard people talk about her. Oh, she was great. But I was like, man, I didn't think so. But then, as I started to mature and started to grow up a little bit, and by the way, I was in my 30s. When that started really taking place. and I started seeing people, and I saw their spirits. I didn't see the outsides. I started seeing who they were, and I saw their beauty. When you can see that, it changes your perception of who people are. You know, we look in the mirror, and we see the crow's feet, we see the laugh lines, the wrinkles, the retreating hairline, the grays showing up. You know, and if you're like me, you see your ears growing every year. I'm like, man, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm only 50 and they're that big. But we see all that. Sometimes other people don't. Angela and I were debating the other day on this guy on a TV show, on a game show, about how old he was. And I said, honey, he's about our age, maybe a hair bit younger. She still thinks he was, and everybody else in the house said, yeah, he is. He looked good. He looked great. He was a runner. He was a runner. But I told her, I said, I know what I look like in the mirror. I know what I look like. I look in there, and, you know, my eyes, at first they see, well, the 25-year-old still standing there because I'm looking into the eyes. But when I stop and I start shaving, wow. Where did those wrinkles and cracks come from? I see what I actually look like. We're looking at the wrong things. When we look through the eyes of love, just like the master of the violin, he looked past the dirt. He looked past the dulled finish, the untuned strings, and he saw the value of that instrument. And he saw the beauty within it. And only he had the capability of bringing it out. Let God bring it out. Let him do what he needs in your life. Because listen, folks, beauty fades. No matter. We do not look the same as we did at 20. I thank God, honestly, I look like a kid. A kid who had rank in the military and really had no idea what he was doing. But yet God did. Somebody did. It wasn't me. So this week, I want to ask you to surround yourself with the Word of God. Surround yourself. Yeah, you can watch the news. Okay, you kind of got to keep an idea on the news. Because honestly, if it weren't for the news, I wouldn't have known that yesterday was supposed to have been the day the mask mandate was supposed to be lifted, and then it got extended to next week. I would never have known that. But I'm not wrapping my life up around it and going, oh, blah, 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 blah. What good is it going to do? I'll just keep doing what I've been doing. And I do recommend you, if you have a reusable, wash it. I do recommend that. After a while, you start getting dizzy. You do need to clean them. But surround yourself with the things that are just. Well, this just came out. Yes, there's going to be people attacking the previous administration. There's going to be people attacking this administration. The Bible says to pray for them. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your heart is honestly not breaking for Joe Biden, then you are one cold-hearted you-know-what. Because the man is obviously got some issues. Somebody is manipulating him. There are things that are not functioning completely, but yet people turned their back on that and said, we will let people who want to destroy us manipulate him. Well, like I said, I turn them over to God. I don't want to see them and have to go to hell. But I do want God's mercy on this country, on this people, as long as they're willing to pray. If they're not willing to pray, they're not willing to surround themselves and get in God's word and know who he is, then you did it. You did it to yourself. You created your own prison. All right, let's stand. Everybody's wanting revival. Real revival is when people's hearts are turned back to God. That is real revival. It's not rolling in for you. Yeah, joy, dancing, shouting. Come on, man. There's people that think our regular praise and worship service is a revival service. I'm like, praise God, because I like it. I like upbeat. But most importantly, I want to know that your hearts are being directed back to God. How great would it be in this country if fathers would actually take responsibility for their children? How great that parents actually turn their hearts back to raising their families, and husbands to wives and wives to husbands. You want to start a revival? Start there. Start right there. It's not about feel good, happy stuff all the time. Some of the greatest revivals are when people's hearts are broken. and they finally repent. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your word was sent to heal us, to cleanse us. Father, I pray right now that you help us all to take your word and to surround our lives with it, to surround our children with it, to see things through your eyes, Father, to find the value not only in ourselves, but the value in other people, to find their value in you, and to see that they were worth sending Jesus if they were the only person. So, Father, help us. Help us to walk away from our self-righteousness, from our criticisms, from our judgment of other people. Father, and may we judge ourselves and to do it rightly. Father, I thank you that you're moving in this country. Father, we pray for President Biden. Father, I pray for him right now. Father, I believe he's being manipulated. I believe he's being used. So, Father, I pray that your hand be upon his heart. Father, you direct, you guide. Father, I know there's going to be things happening that we do not like. But, Father, I thank you that we're going to be praying for them. And, Father, knowing that I would rather see them saved. And as the energies they're spending on doing evil, that they spend it doing good. Father, I thank you that you're moving right now through the Congress, through the Senate, through the Supreme Court, through every federal office, through the FBI, through the DOJ, Father, through the Department of Defense, Homeland Security. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving in this country, that you're moving in churches across this country to stand up and be right. Father, I thank you right now that you're silencing the evil that's running through the churches. And you're bringing about righteousness. Now, Father, I thank you for these people here today. The people at home, Lord, I bless them. I bless them all. Father, those who have surgeries this week, I pray, Lord, that you be with them. Father, you guide the surgeons, you guide the medical staff in the name of Jesus. You go before them and you maintain them. And now, Lord God, bless these people. Move in their lives greatly this week as they traverse your ways, Lord, as they walk in your paths, Father. Show them the true path of righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen.